Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I see it that way. You know, guys have stepped up and produced on individual levels and then flashes. You know, as we move into this new year, it's consistency and it's elevating from how we played in the past. I love to see us finish games better. Continue to make more plays and do it consistently so we can start winning football games.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mully, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's the voice of Ryan Poles, the general manager. He spoke to our sister station, WBBM, this morning. And really, I mean, there is a not-so-subtle shift of the Bears in season to Ryan Poles in his offseason. That is what we'll be talking about next week as we look at the final game of the season. And we'll know at that point whether or not the Vikings have anything to play for, whether they want to play their entire team, are they going to rest anyone. It'll be very interesting to see how things are. But Ryan Poles is about to play the biggest role. There is still work to be done. There's still a couple games. You still have to look at some players. But he's well on his way to figuring out what he's going to be doing next. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about this idea of turning this thing into some form of tryout, but it's been an ongoing process for about 6 weeks. I just think that with all the injuries and the way that they're stacking up, the Bears are just, they're signing guys. They're going through all these practice squad guys and they're finding out why they're not frontline NFL players.
Yeah. It's just, it's that time of year, right? You're going through and you're trying out these guys and, I just hope these guys, you know, they're trying to figure out if they can play for the Bears, if they can stay in the NFL, and then hopefully they're backups on this roster next year. Hopefully some of these guys are, you know, here, but you want to upgrade at a lot of these positions. But it's a valuable time for these guys, these next two games, and it's interesting too because you got to think some of the veterans like a Riley Reiff. Are we going to see Larry Borum out there more? Is he going to get some time? You know, some of these veterans, are they going to get less playing time for some of these young guys to kind of prove themselves for the future?
It's an interesting balance, I think, that they're going about with it too, because, you know, like Grody told us, Alex Leatherwood not dressed for the game.
Yeah.
You could look at that and say, well, he's physically gifted. He's a former first-round pick, so at least have him dressed and maybe force some more game reps upon him, that sort of thing. But they're saying that your performance doesn't dictate you're a better option than the other guys who are dressing for the game to give us a chance to win this individual game. So the opportunities that are being given, you know, like Velus Jones, who was able to get back into the lineup and has earned continued playing time in the midst of that, I don't think they're necessarily, you know, whether it's Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, they're not just sort of throwing guys to the wolves. I don't think they're throwing out the game plan, not throwing out the possibility of winning. Still shaping the game day active roster through the lens of which guys have shown us that they're at least a part of a formula that gives us a good opportunity to win the game. And so we've seen at various points during the season, and certainly today's dress list seems to be another example of of putting guys on the field, giving guys a uniform on game day, that at least with the current construct of the roster, they feel like, all right, you're amongst the crew that gives us a shot to win, as opposed to just saying from a developmental perspective, or, you know, because we don't necessarily, the results of this game don't matter so much to us. We're just kind of willing to throw anyone out there in the lineup. There is a balance to it.
Reef is an interesting case study because, you know, a lot of times at this time of year, there are players that have something to play for, that be it the bonus structure, yeah, be it, you know, whatever their contract status was. His was connected to playing time, and I'm pretty sure he cannot reach the playing time that would increase his salary. He missed time earlier in the year, and he's been out, and, you know, you could play him if you want to. So then it comes down to the coaching staff and that meeting with the GM. Hey, do we need to see more of this guy or that guy? But there's nothing to keep him. It's not there's no financial incentive to keep him off the field. Let's put it that way. And with a guy like Leatherwood, you know, he was drafted as a tackle and obviously moved to guard before being cut in Las Vegas. And the Bears have tried him at tackle. Do they need to try him at guard before they get to the offseason? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they don't need to today because he's not active.
Well, the Raiders did that, and it didn't work out for him there.
Well, that's what I mean. So I don't know. I don't know what his, you know, you fail at a place and then you come to another place. If you fail there, you know, there's not a lot.
No, Molly, I think you're right. I think these next 2 weeks will be telling about that. If he's inactive for these next 2 weeks, maybe it's just over. Maybe they've seen enough. And another question I have with all the names that Grody said we got coming back because we're going to win now with all these great guys coming back is, you talked about Velus Jones. You have St. Brown back and Claypool back. Who's going to get the reps? Is Velus Jones going to get some reps? Is he still going to get the same reps he got before? Or is it going to be, you know, St. Brown and Claypool out there? Well, hopefully Claypool, but St. Brown, is he going to get Velus Jones reps? I know they're kind of different positions, but still wide receiver. But
Jones is back, right? We know Jones is back. We know that Claypool will be back. They're not going to make that trade and then not have him. So I think that there are a couple of guys that, just based on their status with the team, Velus Jones was a third-round draft pick, and you're not going to just throw him out because he struggled to kind of to make his way early in the NFL opportunity. I think the problem with him is I don't see him as a receiver. I see him more of a gadget guy. They use him in different ways. You know, I felt at the time when they made that pick that it was, you know, maybe they should have gone for a more outright receiver than him at that spot. But, you know, they chose who they believed in, and it'll be very interesting to see how they line up this receiving core.
A lot of bodies. You got a lot of potential playmakers there, and it's as healthy as the group has been in quite some time. And it seemed to me in that Green Bay game that Chase Claypool got banged up in and ended up coming back to finish the game, but that looked to me like that was about to develop into the game where they said, let's just feed him the rock. He's got enough of the offense down, enough, you know, sort of on-job repetition to now be a major part of the offense. There were three snaps in a row as a runner, as a pass receiver, as a screen pass guy. There were three snaps in a row. They were just starting to feed him the ball, and on that third reception was where he initially makes the grab and then goes down awkwardly, clinches at the knee, fumbles the ball away, and he was able to, you know, you respect his grit to fight back into that game, at least be willing to participate later, but then he's out for several weeks after that. So hopefully he's healthy enough and prepared now, and certainly not only physically, but you would imagine mentally even more in tune with all his roles within this offense. All right, now we got two games remaining here this season to see how big of a part of this offense can Chase Claypool be. How many opportunities can they feed this guy with all the physical gifts you would want from a top-flight wide receiver? Now I think we got the best opportunity that they've had since they've traded for Chase Claypool to join the Bears to maybe see whether or not he can really be this guy who can be a big playmaker for him.
Yeah, and I think these are important reps. You know, if people are talking about shutting down Justin Fields. We talked Friday, Anthony, that it's important for him to play in these games to get as many reps as possible. And it's just as important for him to have Chase Claypool out there. These are live game reps. These are a lot better than 7-on-7 in the offseason, all that kind of stuff. He's really going to figure out how they work together. These next, say, 120 plays they get in the next two games, well, he's not going to play 60 plays a game as a receiver, but, you know, say the next 100 reps they get together, in these two games. That's just very important for both of their development and the growth of this offense.
I mean, you know, look, it's not Chase Claypool's fault that he hurt his leg there, it's not his fault that they traded for him. But the fact of the matter is that Pittsburgh doesn't make a ton of mistakes. They chose the Bears over Green Bay because they thought the pick would be better. And lo and behold, the pick looks awful good because there are only 31 picks in the first round this year because Miami lost their number one pick over the toying with Tom. And I think that you look at the fact if the Bears end up with the first pick in a draft, they're going to be giving away the 32nd pick, effectively a first-round pick for this guy. It's going to be a very high second-round pick. And, boy, could they use that pick. But they've made a decision, and they've done this. And I think that this is the problem when I'm thinking about Ryan Poles. You know, I mean, they made a contract with Ryan Bates that was easy enough for Buffalo to match. So all they did was write a contract for another team. That was a mistake, in my opinion. If you want a guy, poison pill it, do whatever you got to do and get the guy. And they couldn't do that. They couldn't get Larry Ogunjobi right. You know, I mean, I get it. They liked him. They wanted him. And then they couldn't pass the physical, and he's gone. So I just think that there's reasons to kind of wonder. You know, one of the things that George said.
Wait. So you're saying you're not a believer in Ryan Poles already?
I'm saying there's no evidence to base it on. I'm saying the guy
that's
hasn't
what I,
had
that's
his
what
first
I heard.
Round yet.
You don't believe in him. You think it's going to be an awful offseason. I got it. I'm writing that down. Mully said Ryan Poles. No, I'm just kidding.
But I mean, you know what?
No, I hear you, though. There are a lot of question marks he's done. I mean, you think about some of the one question I have is. This year, you know, they were tanking or whatever, and he was signing guys, Riley Reiff and Justin Jones and some guys to come in to kind of get him through this. They really didn't hit on those guys. No, you know what I mean? So those are questions I do have. So when you're building a roster, you've got to find guys that can come in and fill those little spots that you hit on and get lucky with. He hasn't gotten lucky with N'Keal Harry, Leatherwood, guys like that. I know that's kind of you're taking chances, but you want to see him hit on some of these graphs he's going for.
That is my point. Mm-hmm. Mully believes totally.
No, I know. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, from a development perspective, that word we've come back to so much this season. You know, Chase Claypool's going to be here next year also. So, you know, if you don't see it in these last two games, it's going to be an offseason with a lot of question marks about him and about Poles bringing him in. And so just from a comfort perspective, just from a perception perspective, to watch him make some plays here, to see him get in the end zone, it would be nice, make a chunk play or two. You know, he's had a couple of those, but, you know, to just be a force within the Bears offense. I still don't see it likely that you're going to see like a volume passing attack where Justin Fields is in the, you know, 40 to 45 pass attempts. So the opportunities to make receptions, to make plays, to have touchdown grabs are just likely going to continue to be more limited within the structure of the Bears offense. But when the opportunities are there, you want to see Chase Claypool take advantage of that. And then at least there's something to build off of going into the offseason where you say, all right, you got a piece that this passing attack can, even if you're not going to focus the whole thing around it, but you can say, all right, we got a guy who you can pair with this quarterback and feel good about going into next year.
I wonder, as we kind of evaluate these last couple of games and look at who's back and who, you know, wouldn't be back, how many guys are rock solid starters? You know, one of them is obviously the quarterback. He's the guy, and you feel like you got that done. But how do you deploy him here? You know, you talk about they don't throw the ball very much in this offense, and they're, maybe it's weaponry, maybe it's protection, maybe they're still not there with the quarterback, or he's not there with the offensive coordinator. I don't know what
it's
the
all
reason
of it.
Would be.
Yeah,
it's
universal.
Obviously there's a lot of elements. But does that mean you run Fields? Does that mean that you go back to the – I mean, I thought it was super cool when he said, I don't want to be a 1,000-yard rusher, but now that I'm here, I may as well set the new record. Well, they didn't use him very much last week, and he wasn't very productive, and there were all sorts of reasons for that, and that was a different team and a good team. This is a team that he's had a lot of yards against previous. Doesn't he need that kind of a game if he's actually going to get 200 yards plus or whatever, I guess 95 yards – over the 195 over the last two games? Doesn't he need like one of these big games today to do that? Or do you want that record? He seems to, and Getsy said he wanted.
To that point, Mully, think back to, and well, David was here with us last week because you were gallivanting around the globe, I'm sure, but we were talking going into that Buffalo game where all three of us just anticipated, because of the weather conditions, they're the Buffalo Bills. They play outdoors in frigid temperatures, and Josh Allen is an MVP caliber quarterback, and he's a mammoth individual with big hands and everything. He and that Bills offense are going to handle those frigid temperatures and blustery wind conditions just fine. So let's see how this Bears offense, let's see how Justin Fields does with it. Is he going to wear gloves? How many sleeves is he going to have on? All these different things. And frankly, between the two quarterbacks, Justin Fields is the one who played a more controlled, more consistently effective game, not as a runner, but as a passer, than Josh Allen did. Now, that doesn't mean Justin Fields is week in, week out a better quarterback than Josh Allen, but I found that just in the evaluation of their game against Buffalo last week so intriguing from the aspect of he is, Justin Fields, close to this all-time rushing record and has had some fun talking about the potential for achieving that, but he didn't force the issue. And Luke Getsy didn't force the issue with saying, let's run him a bunch, or for Justin Fields himself, let's scramble around everywhere and see how frequently I can take off and run. He came out of that game with 7 rushing attempts in a game where, you know, they probably could have used a few big runs from Justin Fields in that, but Buffalo did an effective job the times he did attempt to run, forcing him laterally and getting him, you know, to not be able to turn the corner. And he just stayed in the pocket and looked very composed in doing so, and had some very in awful conditions to pass the ball, had some really nice passes, chief amongst those to Velus Jones, suffered through some drops with guys like Dante Pettis had a key drop, Cole Kmet had a key drop, you know, your most dependable set of hands on the field, your running back, David Montgomery. But it was just a very controlled, composed, especially in the pocket game, top to bottom from Justin Fields, and it didn't lead to huge chunk plays, but just him playing with that control and that comfort for another game. He's just stacking comfortable performances, looking like he's in command of things. And I think that's huge. So if it means today he's running around everywhere, I think that's awesome. But, you know, the way you were kind of framing that really, you know, took my mind back to last week and just thinking about a game where, you know, maybe it could have been a touchdown if he would have forced the issue as a runner. But I liked the fact that he didn't force the issue as a runner last week.
Yeah, the coaches kind of took his legs away too. I remember it was 3 situations, 3rd and short, 3rd and short, 4th and short. It was drop back pass. They said, you got to figure it out with your brain and your arm. We got to try to get the first down. And selfishly, I like that because that's development. These are reps he's getting to develop into being a better passer. And yes, if you're trying to win the game, I think you call something. Maybe he's rolling out a little bit more. He has the option to use his legs and his arm. But those are 3 separate situations where they're like, no, you've got to win it with your arm. And I like that. I really like that. That's just his continued growth like you were talking about, Anthony.
And frankly, against this Detroit defense, you're almost spoiled for choice, whether you want to run against them or you want to throw against them. Especially, you know, they've been terrible against the tight end all year long. I believe they have allowed pretty much a touchdown a game to a tight end. If you break down their numbers, you know, they've allowed a lot of touchdowns, a lot of catches for tight ends. And I believe Kmet had what, 4 catches for 74 yards.
Yeah. He had a big game last time against Detroit
with 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that part of that is they don't defend the tight end, and that's not taking a shot at Kmet. He had a good game, but he's open and he's able to score today.
I love
it, Cole Kmet prop on BetQL. Is that what you're kind of gearing towards here? Huh?
You keep proving my thoughts here. The Bears are going to win. I love it.
I mean,
speak it into existence, and it's going to happen.
We are the pregame show sponsored by Bet Rivers. So
Bet Rivers. There we go.
Yeah. That's the app I have on my phone.
I do too.
I'm sure there is a prop bet. I'm sure that you could invest in that if you were so chosen to do. All right, we've got to get to the break. We'll be right back. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, is Fields healthy? Is the shoulder in trouble? When you see him not run, do you think, well, they want to throw the ball now? Or do you think, oh, no, he can't run? Or is it, you know, Buffalo's pretty good against the run? Detroit welcomes it. So I think we need to get into how you deploy him based on, is he injured or not? And if he is, if there is any issue, why is he playing at this point in the season? I think there's a lot to learn from him, though, so we'll get into that next. It's the pregame show on The Score.
Hasn't affected me much. I mean, you know, throwing-wise, I felt fine, you know, after the incident happened. I think the biggest thing with it is just sprinting full speed and being able to use that arm to produce more power with running. So, but other than that, it's been fine.
Is it always in pain? To some degree?
I mean, it just depends. Like, you know, like that play on the sideline, it, you know, it just aggravated it a little bit. So, but usually, like, during the games, it's no pain.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mully, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Oh, yes, indeed. Happy New Year, everyone. We are back on the pregame. Want to remind our Bear fans to check out the new Zing Zang Bloody Mary canned cocktails. Premium vodka already in the can. They're always ready. Perfect for your game day tailgates. Please Zing Zang responsibly. So there we heard from Justin Fields, guys, and he said it was very interesting. The left shoulder injury doesn't affect him when he's throwing the ball. But when he's running, it does kind of affect him. It impacts him. How can he, you know, he doesn't really want to kind of lower the shoulder and put it into anyone. And then you think about him talking about that tackle on the sidelines. I just wonder how much of what we're seeing from the Bears is them wanting to try him in the pocket more, and how much is it kind of reluctant to use him as a runner.
That's a good question. I wonder, too, how much he's realizing that if you play that way, you can't last 17 games. You know, you can't be healthy and you can't be there for your teammates. And I've said it always. He said it, too. He didn't want to be a 1,000-yard rusher. I don't want to see him take the hits that he's taken. Just limit those number of rushing opportunities. Yes, there are times you need to call quarterback runs because he is that dynamic. But let's let him get better as a pocket passer. And I think that's better for the Bears and the Bears organization and potential playoffs and playoff wins if he's out there for 17 games and not playing the way he was when, yeah, that was a nice run. They were scoring 30 points a game, and it was kind of cool to see him use his legs. But I just don't want to see that as the future Justin Fields.
And I think Luke Getsy and the Bears offense have managed it pretty well along the way here, and Justin Fields himself, because throughout the season, you know, we think back to the – earlier stretch of the year where we're talking about, you know, wanting more volume to the pass attempts for Justin Fields in game, and the growth can come through that lens. And then he goes on that tear as a runner that seems to enhance what the Bears are doing offensively, and they're scoring more points. And now we're in a stretch where, you know, I feel like week by week, I've been bringing this up since the Giants game, like after the week after the Houston game where he said he played like trash because he did play like trash and they still found a way to beat Houston. But since the New York game back at the start of October, my observation has been week by week since then, he's gotten more comfortable, more composed, more confident, more decisive with just evaluating what the defense presents to him snap by snap. And that's whether the pass attempt is being called by Luke Getsy or the run attempt is being called. But every time Justin Fields breaks the huddle leading the Bears offense, there's information to be gathered from that. There is processing that takes place there. So those are all extremely important reps. And, you know, I'd say my evaluation and my observation is, yeah, I think there's a couple less called QB runs in game. They've also just run less overall snaps of offense the last few games as well. But by percentage, I think Luke Getsy's called it fairly balanced throughout the year, maybe not strictly 50-50 each game, but he's called high volume of run with a high volume of pass throughout the year. The scrambles are down a little bit as well, but part of what's led to some of those scrambles from Justin Fields early in the season were when he wasn't completely sure what the defense presented to him, and so he wasn't getting the ball out of his hands as quickly, as rhythmically as he's begun to lately. And so, you know, where the completion percentage is up, you know, 60s and above more consistently now, part of that is because he's just better at evaluating defenses and more rapid in his ability to determine where to go with the football. And so he's able to get it out of his hands more quickly as opposed to having to scramble around. So that ends up dipping the rushing attempts as well.
And, you know, I've said this before. I understand the argument that the running quarterback works until you get to the playoffs, and then you know the course of the season takes a toll, and then teams and I can't wait till we can have that argument. I can't wait till we can argue about whether or not what the way they run their offense would work in the playoffs. But I am going to be watching what happens with Lamar Jackson. I'm very curious to see how Baltimore views his future and how they want to pay him, etc. I think they'd be foolish not to bring him back, but he is out right now, and it is impacting their season right now. And I think that there's a lot of elements of like what Justin Fields was able to do. You can't help but marvel at it because it's just not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be able to do that in the NFL. And he's done it repeatedly, these long runs. And, Pat, I was saying it reminds me of Hester, just the idea that he can do that and you're not supposed – obviously very different players, very different situations, but how in the name of God can he do that? And to come back and do it again, like, you just don't see it. No. It's just not something that's supposed to be able to happen. So – amazing. And I'll say for Justin Fields, I don't think he did that in college that often because he didn't have to.
Right.
And I think he's improved from when he first started running, when he first started. I think he's gotten so much better at it. It's almost like he's developed this ability while the season has gone on, and who knows how good that could be. So, but you will have the argument that there isn't a sustainability, that guys get hurt when they play that way and that he's separated his shoulder and you know, it's just something you're going to have to look at.
Right, but that's what gets me excited about him.
I agree.
Seeing this big-time playability, that if he can grow into being that top-notch passing quarterback, understand defenses pre-snap and get into that where he can kind of see what's going to happen before it happens and then have that ability, that's what gets me so excited, that he has the potential to act just to be great. To be better than some other, than we've seen other guys because of that his escapability and running for 67-yard touchdowns coming out of a sack and three guys trying to bring him down. And that's just what gets me excited about this year. And we talked about the beginning of the year, too. We wanted to see growth, and we've seen it. I've seen enough with him in the pocket, understanding defenses like what you were talking about, pre-snap, post-snap, and getting the ball to the right player at the right time. I've seen that growth. There's still growth to be done, but I think that's what gets us so excited in Chicago about Justin Fields.
His running brings him confidence.
Yes.
It's like he is master of his universe, and that makes him better at everything he's doing.
And, I don't think anyone should anticipate or, frankly, should hope for Justin Fields to be a guy who just completely stops using his running ability. Mm-hmm. It imposes so many game plan issues for the opposing defense with what they have to do with him as a runner, how that affects the way they play coverage. So it presents a lot of different opportunities because it presents problems to the opposing defense. And right now he's the only player on the Bears offense, frankly, on the Bears entire team that the opponent has to game plan around. And part of that is his rushing skill. But that being said, does he need to be a guy who's north of 150 carries every season? No, but can he stay north of, 90 to 100 carries a year? So you still have that as a very effective portion of your offense, but you are diminishing the sort of, potentially like brutal hits that he takes as an open field runner, but I think there's a balance to it. Mobile quarterbacks can win at a high level, but what is the volume of carries that are associated with that? Because you can advance the football, score touchdowns, put points on the board at a higher, more consistent clip, the more effective you are as a passer. So that growth should end up diminishing the overall volume of carries, but I certainly don't think there should be any point in Justin Fields' career in the near future where his running ability just isn't a part of how they operate anymore. There's a balance to it. But I do think the overall rushing attempts will diminish in the years to come.
And that helps game planning, right? The defense coordinator, when you've got a game plan, the Bears, that's hours they got to spend watching, dissecting that, putting practice cards up. You know what I'm talking about, Anthony? Your practice cards, you got to go through that and the run fits and 9-on-7. You got to do that. You got to deal with all that stuff. That's practice reps that are taken away from other situational things that you're doing during the week. And that's more value to him when you have to game plan against him.
It's great stuff. All right, we've got Dan Pompey, the Hall of Famer himself, is going to join us next. We'll get a pick from Dan. We'll get your picks, and we'll have some fun here as we talk to Dan. It is the pregame show on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mully, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's the pregame show, and we are delighted to welcome in Dan Pompey. His name is written in the Hall of Fame, and he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year to you, fellas. Good to be with you this morning.
Good to be with you. How's your head feeling this morning? A little hungover? No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully you're good.
I'm fine, thank you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, quiet day with family.
All right, good. Hey, I do have a question for you about, you know, we were talking earlier in the show, we had a couple segments on about Kevin Warren being the possible new president of the Chicago Bears. What are your thoughts of him? And then one little thing is, you've covered the NFL and seen this situation happen. How involved would Ryan Poles be in that interview?
Yeah, you know, I think that Kevin Warren is excellent candidate for the Bears. I can't imagine someone who checks every box as well as he does from the standpoint of all of his work experience, his life experience, different things he's done, the different people he knows, his understanding of the league, his understanding of the particular challenges that the Bears will face in the next 10 years or so. And the fact that he's got, I think, a personality that could really serve the Bears or any team well when you talk about someone who's the public face of a team. And, you know, I think we've seen a little of that with what he's done in the Big Ten. And I think certainly in his previous jobs, you know, with the Vikings, the Rams, the Lions, he's got a lot of things going for him. He really does. In terms of Poles' influence on this, you know, he probably is involved in the, you know, in the interviews. But I think it would be crazy to have him have too big a say, too much influence, because ultimately he's going to be reporting
right,
to that guy.
Right, right.
You don't want the tail wagging the dog, you know. So I think whereas, you know, maybe George McCaskey might value his opinion, ultimately this has got to be a person who George McCaskey feels comfortable with and he wants to hire. And, you know, he feels that this person could help lead the Bears into, you know, whatever comes next for the franchise.
And, Dan, however, you know, Bears fans may feel about, you know, the consistency of ownership, that has been the most consistent aspect of where there hasn't been sustained success for the Bears in, you know, over the last decade plus here. So I'm wondering if, you know, if it's a Kevin Warren who comes in, who would certainly have job options, and he's operated at the highest of the sports industry. So if he comes in, would that maybe be an indication that the McCaskey family would be sort of, you know, deferring to someone to be able to run the totality of the organization in a way that maybe hasn't been there in the past?
You know, that's a good question, Anthony. I would probably say no. I would say that, you know, I think Ted Phillips has been a pretty powerful voice in everything the Bears do. I think that George McCaskey's voice has become more loud and more powerful as he spent time on the job within the organization. And I would expect that to continue to be the case. You know, Kevin, for all his attributes, is not a quote-unquote football guy. You know, he's not a guy who evaluates tape and decides who should be chosen with the second pick of the draft, or, you know, which, you know, should David Montgomery be signed to a contract extension. That's not what he's going to be doing if he becomes the president of the Bears. I think he's going to be overseeing everything. And as you and I talked the other day, you know, the one interesting part of what he would do, though, is I think he'd have a real influence and voice in terms of you know, who's sitting in that general manager's chair moving forward? Who's sitting in the head coach's chair? Now, obviously, they've got two people there that are probably going to be there for a while and will be there certainly as long as they're winning. But we all know these arrangements don't last forever. So at some point, I would think that Kevin Warren would probably be helping to choose, if not choosing, the Bears' next general manager and head coach.
Dan, looking at this game today and the opponent, the Detroit Lions, in the context of the Bears, are they ahead of them in the rebuild? Is Detroit a team the Bears are chasing, or are the Bears in better position because they have a firmer decision on the quarterback, although it looks like Goff is the quarterback of the future now?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think the Lions are ahead of the Bears. I think, you know, Campbell has a year on Eberflus, and the roster has fewer holes, and they've made more progress. You know, ultimately, maybe you'd say Fields is going to end up a better quarterback than Goff, but, you know, there's more to just the one position. And I think the Lions have kind of really established their culture, and you know, they've got some fruit from that. I mean, they've won some games, and they're in the thick of the race for the playoffs. If they win these last two games, they're probably going to be in the playoffs this year. You know, the Bears are not there yet. So I'd have to say they're ahead, yes.
Are you a believer in Dan Campbell then?
I am, yeah. You know, I spent a lot of time with him in the offseason and wrote a big story on him. I think he's fantastic. You know, he's the kind of guy who makes you want to strap on a chin strap and put on the shoulder pads and go hit somebody.
Important. That's important. You want somebody want to go to the building to work with and for.
Without a doubt. And I can tell you the players love him and everybody in the building loves him. And he's got great leadership. You know, I think he's probably struggled a little bit at times with the ascension to the head coach role in terms of, you know, game management, some of the decisions he's made the last minute, not working out, that kind of thing. But I think he's learning and growing. And you know, this time has been valuable to him and probably will end up making him a better coach. But I think he's outstanding. I think, you know, really even this year, you could consider him a candidate for coach of the year.
As the Bears get ready to go into a pretty hostile atmosphere in Detroit, is there a player or a couple of players that you look at and say if they can, who maybe it's most vital for them to be able to respond well, where the Bears don't necessarily have any big implications on the line, but they do get this opportunity to gel, to test themselves against a team in what's going to be a very raucous Ford Field today?
You're asking me if there's any Bears or any Lions? I'm sorry, Anthony.
Any Bears. Like, is there a player or players on the Bears who you're really intrigued to see how they respond today?
Yeah, absolutely. Chase Claypool. You know, here's a guy who has not lived up to what the Bears or Chase Claypool himself hoped he would do in limited opportunities up to this point. He's been banged up, and he's got a chance now to go out there as a number one receiver and make some plays. Assuming he's healthy. And, you know, I think the Bears need him today if they're going to be in the game. But, you know, they're going to need somebody to make plays out there. We saw last week how tough it was with all the receivers injured for Justin Fields. And I think he's a guy who really could step up and make the Bears feel good about that trade they made with the Steelers.
Dan, you know, it's interesting. We talked a little bit earlier about being at a time of year where there is value to losing, right? The Bears have a shot at a number one overall draft pick. This is the sort – it is the time of the year now where you start looking at draft position, where you have nothing going on. But this is a division opponent, and there is value to just, I suppose, winning in the division. – First of all, do you buy that? Do you believe in that? Or do you have a contrary opinion? And tell us who wins the game.
Well, you know, I really like what Doug Peterson was saying this week. you know, when they asked him about this game, that really they're playing a game that they can't move forward, they can't move backwards in this game this year. They said, "Well, you're going to rest the starters. The game, you know, really has no meaning to you, right?" And Peter said, "Look, there's never a meaningless game, and you know, if you're playing it, there's a reason to try to win it." And I think I would agree with that from the standpoint of being a coach or being a player. Obviously, from a general manager standpoint, you might say, well, it would be nice to get the draft pick. But I think the Bears have to approach it that way. However, I think they're going to have a tough time beating this team. I think the Lions are motivated. I think they're a team that has improved greatly since they beat the Bears barely back in November. And, you know, the interesting part of this game to me is going to be the run game on both sides, you know. The Bears ran for 258 yards against the Lions. Last time, Lions gave up 321 yards last week. But, you know, they played nickel defense the whole game, never stacked the box. I can't believe they're going to do the same thing against the Bears this week. So I would expect that the game will be decided there. And then also the Lions, you know, they've struggled to run recently too. And they need to run the ball against the very suspect Bears run defense. But I've got the Lions winning this one easily, guys. I think it's going to be a tough day for the Bears.
Boo. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. This is upset. This is upset Sunday. I think that's what's going to be. Hey, real quick, just it's evaluation time. Can you evaluate? Give me your evaluation of Luke Getsy and Alan Williams, or is Alan Williams unevaluatable, if that's a word, because of the lack of talent?
Yeah, I think it is difficult to evaluate him based on what he's dealing with. I mean, I think you have to look at him and say, you know, do you like the scheme? Has he been able to develop young players? Has he been able to bring the best out of what he's been given? And I think for the most part, you'd probably say, yeah, you know, he's checked those boxes. In terms of Getsy, I think he's had a really good year. You know, I think, again, he's had challenges, but most of what you judge him on is the quarterback and the development of the quarterback. And Justin Fields has come a long way from the player who we saw last year. And, you know, you look at all the offensive line combinations. What has it been, 8 different starting offensive line combinations, something like that? You look at the wide receivers losing the best wide receiver on the team and, you know, not having much depth there to begin with. You know, he's had a lot of challenges. And I think, you know, if you look at most of the player development and the game planning and play calling, you'd say pretty good. And obviously you could always nitpick and say this could have been better, that should have been different, but I think he's done a very good job.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up. Have a great year.
Thank you, guys. You too.
Happy 2023 to all. All right. We are it is upon us. We are in the new year, and we are closing in on the game. Big Ants, how do you view it? Who's going to win?
So I believe that part of this might be me letting Patrick talk me into it, but yes. Even a few weeks back when folks started asking me if the Bears were going to win another game, I said, you know what, I think they're going to go on the road and beat Detroit. Now, that was in the early stages of Detroit going on the tear that they were starting to go on there, but Bears are full strength as this roster is going to be. So I like the health up front. I like the health at wide receiver. Absolutely love the way the quarterback is playing so composed week in and week out. Give me the Bears in a score fest, all kinds of touchdowns on the board. I'm going to say the Bears come out with the dub, 38-35.
All right. I love it. I love it, man. Wow. New year, new Bears. I'm putting my helmet on too, Anthony. This is it's still Detroit. I'm sorry. They're still Detroit to me. The Bears are going to win this one 28-24. I just have that feeling. I don't know. That's the only reason I have a feeling.
I mean, I'd love to see the Bears come back and win a game. Don't get me wrong. Is that the way you see it? Are we looking at the Bears coming back, or the Bears, are they holding on, or are they? I love that both of you have
taken. No, I think Detroit is going to Detroit themselves again.
They played tight last week. That game last week,
did.
Like once everybody started paying attention to Detroit last week, and then you know there was
can they handle the pressure?
Yeah, and last week the answer was no.
Yeah, exactly.
They could not.
Yeah.
And today, that place is going to be packed.
Oh, yeah.
Standing room only at Ford Field. Lions fans have big expectations. Won't be surprised one bit if they have a couple of three and outs and the Bears get up by like 10 to nothing or something. Because they've started pretty fast. You know, they score early in these games and then fizzle for a little while. They're going to start getting booed by their home fans. You just wait. It's going to be a really tense atmosphere.
Well, now I want to watch the game, and that's saying something.
Exactly.
It's a great pregame show when it drives you to the television set. Fantastic. We will be here after the game. Big Ant, are you in the post-post?
I am on post-post, yep. Okay, I'll be there after you guys finish up.
After the big win.
All right. So as soon as the game ends, get back over here, and we'll be here, and then Big Ant will take you home. It's all right. I love it. We've got the big upset Sunday predicted the start of a whole new year. And it's 23. It's Mike Jordan season. It's Devin Hester season.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see how it works out. All right. That is the pregame show. I want to thank Cesar Perez for his great work. And we will be back right after the game. Make sure you are with us. We'll give you our react. We'll take your calls and we'll talk it through. It is the pregame show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.